Good morning. My name is Martin, and if you're wondering why I'm here, that makes two of us. I'm wired for everything here. I need to make sure. Oh, it's great. It's working. All right. Now, the reason I'm here is 23 years ago, or actually 25, I'm sorry, I was baptized in the old baptistry that used to be right behind me. Then, of course, that baptistry ended up out here, and some things have changed since then. But my mother-in-law, Sharon Brock, we had her memorial yesterday, and that's why we are in town. And somebody asked if I wanted to preach, and I said, well, this is job security for Jordan, because after you hear me, you're definitely going to be very thankful for him. So you're welcome, Jordan. About 20 years ago, there was a book written called Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. I know what you ladies are thinking. Why did they insult Martians like that? All right. After all, men are disgusting slobs. Plus, we have no sense of fashion. If you can't tell by the way I dress, we have no sense of fashion whatsoever. And not only that, we just do dumb things. That's because we are men. And so it's amazing to think that men and women are even attracted to each other. I mean, they are just so different. You know, for example, women are just beautiful creatures. And you know, women just know how to dress well. And besides that, women are very intelligent. So it's amazing we ever even get married, you know, because we're just so different from one another. But yes, it's a mystery why that happens. It's no secret that men and women are different. Now, of course, we are physically different, but we're even different in the way that we think. Our thinking process is just completely different from one another. Recently, I came across a book that wonderfully illustrates this truth. And the book is called Guys Are Waffles, Girls Are Spaghetti. Now, the book explains how guys' brains are like waffles and women's brains are like spaghetti. And I know already I'm hitting it off with the ladies, but that's okay. These are generalizations. In other words, this is not true for every male, this is not true for every female, but by and large, this is true. You will notice this as we go along. But before we get to the Bible, I have a rather long introduction to go through before we actually open up the scriptures. You see, men are like waffles because each square is a different topic. And if you notice a waffle, there's walls with each square. And so when a man gets into a particular square, into a particular topic, that is where he is, and that's the only place where he is at that time. And so for him to move to a different topic, he has to leave one square, jump over the wall, and get into another square. Thus, men are very good at focusing on one thing at a time. And so that's why sometimes, ladies, we don't hear you. You say, well, you got selective hearing. No, right then and there, we are in a waffle square that does not include you, okay? No offense to you, we're just in a particular square where we're focusing on something else. So therefore, when men get into a particular square, the first thing they do is they look for the problem that's in that square and how to fix it. And you're probably thinking, every square cannot have a problem. Oh, yes, it does. For example, I want to watch this TV show. How can I do it without being interrupted? I want to get from A to B, and I either want to get there the fastest way or the most exciting way. I want to be able to sit down and watch the game without being interrupted. How am I going to do that? I need to talk to my wife without getting in trouble. How am I going to do that? So all these different things are different squares, and we look for the problem within each and every one of these squares and how we can fix it. So therefore, when men communicate with each other, by and large, we are talking about fixing things. We are talking about, you know, communication is a tool. In other words, maybe I need to just talk to this guy, see how he's doing. Well, that's my problem. Talk to him, see how he's doing. Okay, I found out, I'm done. And that's it. Or maybe there's some other thing that they want to discuss. And so usually men's conversations with each other tend to stay pretty much on topic, and they don't just jump around a whole bunch. Now, every now and then they'll get out of a square and get into a different square, but there's not a whole lot of just random jumping back and forth between these squares. And so oftentimes they're just oriented on fixing the problem in each particular square. Now, women, on the other hand, are like spaghetti. You can imagine a plate of spaghetti, and you can just think about, well, there's her brain right there. So you see how the spaghetti, those noodles just touch each other all the time, don't they? And if you follow one particular noodle, one particular topic, it touches several other noodles, several other topics. And by the way, almost every single noodle is connected to a relationship somehow. That's why a woman can say, the toaster doesn't work. I need to send a card to Martha for her birthday. Men have no idea how she got from the toaster to sending a birthday card. But women understand, okay? So there's a connection in there somewhere. We don't get, because if the toaster isn't working, guess where we are? We're in the square of the toaster's broken. I got to fix this. But she's over here talking about Martha's birthday. I have no idea where she got that from, but that's how they think. So let me explain this, men, in a way that can make sense to you. Because women get this already. So when a woman is talking to you, she is following that noodle. But when that noodle touches another noodle, another topic, she will jump to that topic. And she'll follow that until it touches another noodle. Then she jumps on that noodle. And it goes from noodle to noodle to noodle to noodle. And sometimes you come back onto the original noodle. And you wonder, how in the world did we get here? It makes no sense to a man, but to a woman, that makes complete sense. Now, half the women in here probably hate me for this right about now, but that's okay. I'm trying to help the men along because, you know, they need it. Anyway, now all these noodles touching each other, they make sense to a woman. But when a man tries to listen to this, quite honestly, it gets exhausting. Because for the man, when she goes on one noodle, he's in one square. When she jumps off on another noodle, he has to jump out of the square and go into another one. And when she hits another noodle, he's jumping again. And he's wondering, how come we never fix the problems in all these other squares? We keep talking about all these things, but we never actually did anything. And so it frustrates a man. And if a man doesn't understand what's going on, a lot of times he just quits listening. And then she says, you just don't care. And we think, how'd you get to that square? You know, but we're not there right now. But it's so hard for us to make these jumps that it does get very mentally exhausting. And so sometimes we just check out. And ladies, you know that blank stare that men give. It means they haven't been able to keep up with you because you're on three noodles beyond their squares. So that's where all this comes from. And so I want to give you an illustration. Let's say a lady's car won't start. So she goes in, asks her husband or boyfriend or whatever, says, you know, my car won't start, would you please come out and help me? So pop the hood, goes out and looks. Immediately, he sees that the plug has come off, or the distributor wire has come off of the distributor. Now, if you don't know much about cars, that just means it won't start, okay? So let me just give you that hint. Immediately, he sees this, and he knows there is a simple solution. You grab the wire, put it back on the distributor cap, turn the key, and you go do what you got to do. But he can't say that. Because as soon as he pops the hood, she starts following noodles. My car won't start, and my car won't start. I'll be late to my sister's house. And if I'm late to my sister's house, oh, you know her husband's watching the game again. And if I can't get there on time, oh, that reminds me, I got to bake a cake for somebody's birthday next week. And oh, if I don't get there, my sister will be so upset with me, and she's going to be mad at me again. And her husband, well, then you know about that loser. And if I don't get all this done, and oh, for I forgot little Timmy's got to take his homework to school tomorrow. And the man sitting there thinking, you know, he's just like, you know, sign language, grab the wire, put the plug. You know, and this is all he's thinking. He can't stay up with this randomness that she's throwing out there. And the thing is, he cannot say, honey, it's just a plug. Now, that would be the end of the problem. He has gone to the square. He has fixed the problem in the square. The thing is, though, that would be the end of him. Because for him to say, you just have to plug this back in, is saying to her, I don't care about all this other stuff you're saying. Now, to a man, that doesn't make sense. Because we said, well, look, we came into the square that says the car won't start. We fixed it. Problem solved. Look, honey, I do care about you. But because we haven't followed this other train of thought that she has just gone nuts over, it's like a squirrel running through a yard, you know, just like that. And we can't follow that. We've been focused on the one problem at hand. And we look at her, and if we try to interrupt, it says to her, I don't care. And we're just baffled as men. It's like, I can't win for losing. Ever said that before? Well, there you go. That's where it comes from. So all of you are thinking, that's so true. My wife's probably thinking, you're dead when we get home. All right? Now, I'll give you a confession. I've actually done this sermon once before, and one of my deacon's wives came up to me after services. She said, you know, my husband and I were dating. We've been going together for several weeks, and we're driving down the road, and he's just looking out the window. And I started thinking, have I done something wrong? I've upset him somehow. What did I say? What did I do to him? He's upset. He's going to break up with me. What did I do? I've done something to upset him. Finally, she couldn't take it anymore. She said, Jay, are you all right? Yeah, I'm just looking for deer. Now you understand how we think. If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 4. Well, I'm sorry, that thing just jumped too far ahead. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. See, men are good with remote controls, but you got to get used to the one in your hand if it's not familiar to you. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 26. Believe it or not, we actually see waffles and spaghetti in the Bible. And there is no better illustration than right here in John chapter 4. I love this story, but I'll be honest with you. I've heard men teach this so many times. I've taught this so many times as a man. Yes, I've been a man longer than I've been a woman. But I've taught this so many times as a man that it never made sense to me. And when I finally read this book, Waffles and Spaghetti, light bulb went off. And I understood finally what was going on here. Well, let's see what's going on. So Jesus came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, he would have given you living water." Well, the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You've well said, 'I have no husband,' for you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." All right, men, why was Jesus at the well? He was thirsty. Right? Why else do you go to a water fountain? Because you're thirsty. He's at a well because he is thirsty. Now, he is in that waffle square of, "I am thirsty and I need a drink," but he had nothing to draw the water out of the well. Ha ha, here comes this lady along. I'll ask her for a drink because she's got something to draw water with. So he asked her for the drink. Now, and the woman immediately goes down that noodle of, "He needs a drink," and hits a relationship. And she's off on another noodle. Look at verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Notice the relationship there? You're a Jew. You guys don't like us. So how is it that you're asking me for a drink of water? It wasn't, "Yeah, sure, I got something to draw with. Here you go." Not that. She's immediately gone to relationships. Now remember how almost every noodle is connected to a relationship? Well, let's keep going. Look at the shift from verse 11 to verse 12. A problem is stated in verse 11. And what is that? The woman said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. Where then do you get that living water?" There's the problem that the men are in. And then what does she do? She turns it to relationship. "Are you greater than our father Jacob?" What is she doing? She's now connecting that to another noodle, another relationship. Now, men would still be in that square, and only in that square of, "I'm thirsty," and he would stay there until that problem is solved. But what is she doing? She's jumping squares now. That's in his mind anyway. She's jumping squares. She's just following the noodles along. So remember that the waffle and spaghetti are generalizations. Because Jesus flips the tables when he says to her, go call your husband. Now, why in the world did Jesus do that? Well, because he's God. And because he knows how our brains work. And notice when he switches to go call your husband, she doesn't bat an eye. She's not like, why are you talking about my husband now? Men would do that, wouldn't we? We would say, how'd this come up? We're talking about water. You want to bring up my husband? But she doesn't bat an eye. She just goes right on and says, well, you know, I don't have a husband. And it's like, well, of course. And men are like, dude, what are you doing? You're there to get water. Why are you talking about her husband? Have you got your water yet? Get your water. Because that's the square we're in. Don't talk about anything else. Just get your water. And well, that's who we are. Notice that Jesus, again, doesn't phase the woman with this. But what does she do? She changes topic again. Verse 19, she said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Again, changing the topic. And we often say, well, why does she do that? Well, from there, she jumps to another relationship. Look at verse 20. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. You Jews say in Jerusalem, place went on to worship. So notice what she's doing. She's connecting to relationships again. Now, I've always heard men explain this and say, oh, the reason she's changing the subject is she's embarrassed because of her living situation. And maybe she is. Personally, I think she's just following noodles. She hit another one. And that's all she's doing. She's just following the noodles, making the connections to all these relationships. And women get it. Women understand this. Men have been explaining it for years, just as, you know, as a typical man, we're in that square. And at the end of the chapter, what does the women think? Oh, Jesus is such a good listener. And men are left with one question. Did he ever get a drink? I mean, that's why he's there, to get a drink. People say, no, he was there to meet this lady so he could evangelize. Come on, give me a break. He was thirsty, all right? And so we wonder, did he ever get his drink of water? Well, here's the thing. Despite our differences in the way that we think, we should understand this one fact. God made us this way. He made us to think differently. And you may wonder, why in the world did he do that? Well, he had a reason. What it is, he didn't have to ask me. I'll tell you that. He had his reasons. But I think one of the reasons is we complement one another. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And by the way, the word complement, if you will notice, is not spelled in the terms of, doesn't have an I. In other words, oh, you look lovely today. You're very nice. You're very sweet. That's a compliment. This is a complement. Compliment, however you want to say it. This refers to they match. They jive with one another. In other words, they're built to kind of connect together. So here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 24, the Bible says, the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then a rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. But if we're meant to complement each other, why did God make us so different? And notice this, she is literally made from him. Yep. DNA-wise, they have a perfect match. But here's the deal. Mentally speaking, they're two different creatures, aren't they? Two different people, because we think so differently. Waffles and spaghetti. All right, I don't know why God did this. There was a reason for it. There was a purpose behind it. My guess is he knew there'd be times that we need waffle thinkers. People who would get on a topic and stay on it and solve the problems. And he also knew there'd be times that we need spaghetti thinkers. People who will connect the relationships together and think about how decisions can affect other people. When quite frankly, when we get stuck in that square, we don't always see how it will affect others. And I think that's why God did it. But that's just my opinion. Like I said, he never consulted me about this, because if he consulted me, I would have told him differently. But anyway, despite our differences, men and women must interact regularly. And no more so than in a marriage. So let's look at the chapter on marriage. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul writes this, and he is writing a comparison. He is comparing Christ and his bride, his church, with a husband and his wife. And notice what it says here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 33. Wives, submit your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are the members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Look back at verse 25 a moment. A husband should love his wife sacrificially. That is the standard that's set up for us. He should be willing to make sacrifices in his life for her. Now, I know this chapter focuses on the husband's love for the wife, including that sacrificial love, but let's flip that for a moment. You see, Christ, in his great love, sacrificed himself for the church. But the church is also supposed to love him sacrificially as well. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Notice what Jesus says here in verses 24 through 26. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it." Sacrifice. "But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, for each one of us to become a Christian, we have to give up our lives. We have to sacrifice the way that we live and what we live for as part of that sacrificial love for the Lord. Now, in other words, we are to love Christ sacrificially. So if you go back to the analogy in Ephesians chapter 5, that means that wives also are to love their husbands sacrificially. Now, the husbands and the wives should sacrifice for each other, and I believe that includes our communication with each other. We should each try to be flexible with each other in the way that we communicate with each other. And most importantly, we need to understand that men and women are different, and we will process information differently because God made us to do that differently. One way is not right, and another way is not wrong. God made us this way, so it means both ways are right, because this is what God wanted. Now, hopefully, we're all getting a better idea of how each of us thinks, but now that we have an understanding, I think we can begin to understand each other's needs and why we have these needs. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to talk about the ladies first, because that's chivalry. Ladies first. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. I know what chivalry is, I just can't spell it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them," that is your wives, "with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Husbands, we need to try our best to understand our wives. That also means trying to understand how they think, how they communicate. We've already talked about why that's a challenge, but if we truly love her, we will do our best to learn how she communicates and listen. Here's the thing about ladies. When they're following these noodles, they don't really care about a solution. They don't want you to fix the problems. All they want is they want you to follow them down these paths. And if you will just listen and follow them, they will love you for that. Because that's all they want, is for someone to listen. It may frustrate the fire out of you. Say, "We haven't solved anything. We didn't fix a single thing." That's okay. That's not what she needed. She just needed somebody who would listen. And more than anybody on this planet, she wants her husband to listen to her. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 again. Verse 33. And we'll finish on this particular verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. What does the Bible say? It says that we as husbands are to love our wives. God understands that this is a need that women have. Why? Because God put that need in her. And when we try our best to really understand her, that will go a very long way in showing her that we love her. Now, let's talk about the men. Wives, notice at the end of verse 33 there, it says, let the wife see that she respects her husband. Doesn't say love her husband, but respects him. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but men need to be respected. God made us this way. Why? I don't know. But we really want our wives to respect us. More than anybody else on the planet, we want her respect. Sure, we would like other people to say, you're doing a great job, pat you on the back, whatever, but we really want her to do that for us. Now, ladies, he needs to know that you respect him, particularly that you appreciate those things that he does well. And if this helps, ladies, you need to praise him and encourage him like he's a little child. Yeah. Now, men, you might be saying, dude, you sold us out. I'm just trying to help the ladies here to respect you the way you deserve to be respected, men. That's all. Because ladies, well, anyway, I know it's not difficult to imagine him as a child. Just don't tell him that. That's not respectful. But think of it that way. When we encourage children, sometimes he needs that same encouragement, if not even more so. Because that is what God wants us to give to one another. And he realizes women need loved, men need respected. And the way that we do it with each other, God kind of gives us a little description in the Bible. So God knows that men and women need these things because he is the one who created us. And by the way, if you think I've got this all mastered, I'm a guy. When I try to think with spaghetti brains, it just ends up like scrambled eggs. So I do feel like I have a better grip on it because I've read this book, because I understand now God made us differently, and this is how God has made us. And so sometimes Deanna will look at me and say, it's spaghetti brain right now. It's like, okay, I'm right there with you. And sometimes, like, hold on a second, I'm in the waffle, you know, and I'm right there in that square, and she's got a way for me to get out of that square so I can talk with her about whatever it is she needs to talk about. But that has helped a lot in our relationship, but I hope it helps you in your relationships. You see, the Lord loves you, and the Lord wants you to come to him, and he invites you to come to him. You see, Jesus came to this world to show us how to live. And a really cool thing, guys, yeah, he's a man. Yeah, he's got a waffle brain. But even there in John 4, he shows us we can understand women. We can think like them. We can communicate with them and have a successful time doing so. And that we can show them that true love by listening. And the same for you ladies. The way that Jesus was respected, the way people revered him, your husband wants you to do that for him. I don't mean to be fake for either one of you, but I mean you need to practice these things, work on these things, to give one another the things that God deserves. Now, God has shown his love for us ultimately by sending Jesus. God demonstrates his love by sending Jesus for us. Romans 5:8 says, do we want to know if God loves us? Jesus is the answer. Yes, he loves us. He came and took on a human body to die one of the worst, cruelest, most painful deaths man has ever devised. And he did that for us because he loves us. And he wants to spend eternity with us. But here's the thing. When we become Christians, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes, and God knows that. He even says in 1 John chapter 1, talking to Christians, he said, if we will confess our sins, if we Christians confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So he knows we're going to make mistakes. So it's not that Christians are perfect, it's just that we serve a perfect God who is willing to give us chance after chance after chance after chance to get it right. You see, he'll keep on forgiving us as long as we keep on trying to do what he wants us to do. And what he wants us to do is to follow his word. The Bible is our guide to heaven. Folks, we all have opinions. You can listen to people who have tons of opinions. Well, this is what the Bible says, and it may or may not be what the Bible says. The question we always have to ask is, what does the Bible say? Because we're told in John chapter 12, verse 48, that Jesus is going to judge us with His Word. It's not going to be on how well we kept our opinions, on how nice we were to people, or how many good things we did. It's going to be on, did we keep His Word? Did we do what it said? And if you're not a Christian, we would love for you to do what it says. And what it says to do is we've got to believe in Jesus. We have to believe that He is the Son of God. We have to be willing to give our lives over to Him. As we read earlier, we have to lose our life so that He could save it. And we do that through baptism. You see, we're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection. And we go into that water with our sins, but we come up without those sins. We have newness of life. We are born again. And that's where our Christian journey begins. But sometimes we make mistakes along the way. And that's where that forgiveness comes in again. Maybe there's someone here today who needs to become a Christian, wants to become a Christian, and we'd love to help you do that. There's water right behind this glass, and we can help you become a Christian. Maybe you got questions. Maybe you want to talk to somebody about it. Folks, we welcome that. We would love to sit down and talk with you. We're going to give an invitation in a moment, invite people to the front who want to ask for baptism or who want to ask for prayers. But if you're kind of intimidated about doing that and you really don't want to come up front, that's okay. Just please, after services, talk to somebody. Say, I'd like to study with someone about what the Bible says. And here's what we'll do. All we'll do is give you the information from the Scriptures. We'll sit down, open the Bible, we'll read it together, let you see what it says, and let you decide. It's the same thing all of us have done. We're not going to twist your arm, put any kind of pressure on you. We won't do any of that. We just want you to have that information so you can make an informed choice. But if you are a Christian and maybe you've just turned back into sin, maybe you haven't been treating your wife the way you should or your husband the way you should, maybe you need prayers for forgiveness, then we want to pray for you. Folks, if you have a need, this is a time that we as a family can come together to help each other. And so if you have a need, please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.